This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. We were just a few weeks away from Free Toll Friday, the official kickoff to summer from the Farley Toll Plaza, where we'll do our show. And Pete will pay for your toll. I'm going to drive through the toll. I'm really going to do it this time, five times, as many times as possible.
Nice.
Make Pete pay for it.
Man, summer doesn't start till we're down there on that.
Yep.
First time of doing it last year was for me.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Me too. I was like, wow, they really make a whole thing out of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal.
I've been doing that for years.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks joins us, as he does every Friday at 3. This Elliott Shore Parks call-in brought to you by Robin Ford. Online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap. Elliott, good afternoon.
Man, you finally moved close, and now listen, you can't wait to get back on that highway. Go back through the tolls, do it
four or five times.
You missed it deep down. Deep down, you missed the driving.
Well, the crazy thing is, driving all the way to the Farley Toll Plaza is about half as far as I was driving every day anyway. So it seems easy.
It's not a bad drive.
It really is. It
is a cool event. It's really not that far. I was surprised when I did it.
Yeah, I was blown away. I was like, wow, it's like a carnival here. I couldn't believe
it.
Elliot, before we get into the Eagles thing, I just want to check on you from a mental stability standpoint with all the rain outside.
Yeah, you know, honestly, and this is probably the best endorsement I could give of having good basements, I'm so much better with rain now than I used to be now that my basement doesn't flood. Like, I used to be unable to sleep when it rained, thinking my basement would flood. I've been in my new house for 3 years. Like, I canceled my weather subscriptions. Like, I'm in a much better place with rain now.
Oh, good. Yeah,
that's good to hear, buddy.
It's rain now that scares me.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So, Elliot, historically scared of rain. Why are you scared of wind?
So I have a piece of siding on my house that's a little loose, and whenever it gets really windy, it flaps, and so I'm constantly afraid it's going to fall off. And so, like, I swear it's more windy than it's ever been. There has to be a research assignment on this or something.
Well,
so,
you need to call my people. Hey, call my people at Emmons Roofing.
There you go. Yeah, that's okay.
I might have to. But I guess when you got the tallest house on the block, that's what happens. You know, the wind hits it. Yeah, the wind hits it harder.
What, are you living in the Comcast building? I mean, what are you talking about?
The tallest house on the block.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, they should do some studies on the climate. Yeah, they haven't done any of that.
Well,
yeah.
No, he is right. It's been extra windy. It's been so windy this year.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it has. All right, Elliot. Elliot,
here
you said.
Project over.
Yeah. So, Elliot, you said, you know, the Eagles come up with a deal to retain Dallas Goedert this week, sign him to a slightly less contract. And you mentioned that it was proof that the Eagles are all in to win a Super Bowl this year. I would like for you to explain how keeping a player who's already under contract that they couldn't cut and make any cap room anyway. How is that an all-in move?
Because I think all offseason they have basically focused on 2026, right? They weren't active in free agency because they had a bunch of guys to sign in 2026. Like, they traded Chauncey to save money for 2026. God Campbell, I don't think, is purely a 2026 pick, But when you consider, like, the potential injury there, I don't know if that's, like, a starter day one type of pick. I think Goddard is the first move they've made this offseason where you can say, okay, they are definitely, like, extremely interested in winning in 2025. And we knew they weren't going to. They have a great roster. But it would have been very easy to move on from Goddard and save that cash, right? So I think that the decision to give him $10 million cash plus potentially 11, I mean, that's basically just giving him almost what he was going to get anyway. That, to me, is a signal that they're not just punting on 2025, or they're not just, you know, going to see what happens. Like, they are still actively trying to repeat here. It's not all about 2026.
Well, it seems if you were to believe that they tried to trade him, though, I guess I have trouble with the characterization, because it only would have saved them $14 million. Yeah.
$11 million.
But yeah. Nothing on the cap. It would have saved them nothing on the cap. And if you're to believe they tried to trade him, then they tried to trade him anyway. I guess I disagree with the characterization that it indicates that it is an all-in move.
Well,
I think it is
I just think they're spending $11 million in cash when I think the idea of this offseason has been, like, save the cash for next year and save the cash for all the players they have to play. Like, if this was $3 or $4 million, I wouldn't have that opinion. But $11 million, that's
a good money
chunk of change.
Yeah, that's
exactly
good money.
That's that Ike Reese money, you know? So like it's a noteworthy commitment to me. And it's not like spread out over 5 years. Like, we'll see what they do if they end up lowering his cap hit. But just in terms of cash, he gets it all now. So it is writing a check solely for the 2025 season. And I know you said they tried to trade him, and they did. They definitely would have traded him. But they also could have decided, you know what, we're just going to move on, and they didn't. Like, they changed course and gave him that $11 million, or 10, however you want to phrase it. No.
Last thing, I guess eating that cap hit for no production whatsoever is a worse, like, financial decision than spending money on production. Like, I know they wouldn't spend that cash, but it limits their – then you have $10 million or $11 million on your cap going toward nothing. Which is also bad asset allocation.
Yeah, so like Jason Kelce, I think, cost $16 million on their cap this year. I'm not completely diminishing the $10 million because, I love following the cap space. I think it matters. I just think they would probably say internally the cash, and I actually think Jake Rosenberg said this when he was on with you guys, like the cash is probably a bigger number that they track than the cap number. So you're right, they would lose cap space by getting rid of Goddard. But I think putting out the cash is a bigger commitment than, you know, worrying about the cap space, if that makes sense.
See, look at that. We can disagree and not fight over it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure Ike's up, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Listen, I don't have anything. We're generally in the same vicinity with your takes this year. You just like to go one or two clicks too far with everything.
Emphasis on click, right, Elliot?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly right. That's how you get the click, you know?
Yep. Elliot, do you think at this point, with free agency essentially over, the draft over, is this pretty much it heading into camp, or do you think the Eagles have maybe a surprise move in there somewhere, given all the picks they have over the next 2 years and the $25 million or so in cap space they have for this year?
I think they probably have one move left, but I think for the most part, this is it. And, you know, that's not even really my opinion. That's just based off history. If you look at how how his offseasons generally go, like, he is correct. He does make moves late. Like, they acquired Chauncey, Ronald Darby. They got Jay Ajayi at the trade deadline. Like, there have been times where they've acquired players. James Bradbury was acquired, right? But that's, like, one player per season. It's not like he's adding two, three guys that end up being starter-level snaps after the draft. It just is not historically what they've done. So they do have a ton of draft picks, and they have the ability to go add guys, but it's just not really what they've done. So I do think this is mostly it. Like, maybe the Justin Simmons thing happens. Like, maybe they make a trade for somebody, but it's only going to be one player. I don't think we're looking at two, three acquisitions.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking that defensive end spot or outside rusher position, keep my eye on that. They got a lot of possibles there other than Nolan Smith right now. I know Jalix Hunt is a nice little piece, but I don't think he's being penciled in as a starter for next year. So I could see if they get to training camp and they don't necessarily love what they see.
And Uche Ojulari.
Yeah, those guys. And Bryce Huff hasn't improved they may be looking to make a move somewhere there.
And the other thing with their edge position is, and this is why they did have interest in Khalil Mack, they just didn't end up getting him, is like they are young there as well.
Yeah.
So I think they would like to add a guy, like not just a veteran. Like BG ended up playing more than they expected last year, but I think BG was initially signed to be a fourth defensive end that's a great guy in the locker room that has experience. Like they don't have that guy. So Jadeveon Clowney was released. You wonder if that's somebody they could potentially have interest in. They have in the past, but you know, things change quickly. Like every year a player gets older.
How old is Clowney?
Right?
Yeah, is Clowney, is he?
Oh, almost 40 now, right?
I mean, yeah, how old is Clowney?
Can't hurt any of our quarterbacks if he's on our team. That's good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, he'll be popular in the locker room for that.
Yeah. he's only 32. That feels impossible.
That's not bad. 32.
Yeah, I still get a year or two left there.
Yeah, well, we only need him for one.
Right. A year.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of needs, Aaron Schatz, I wrote a column on ESPN.com. I think he's usually pretty smart, and he wrote a column about the biggest need that each team has. I thought it was notable that he thought the Eagles' biggest need right now is third wide receiver.
Yep.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I would agree. Now, Jahan Dotson, I think, like showed in the playoffs that he is still capable of making plays. And honestly, the numbers last year for Jahan Dotson are not really what concerns me. I don't think a third wide receiver is ever going to come here and put up huge numbers. The concern with Dotson would more be there were opportunities last year, like when AJ or Devontae were out, or both, and he didn't really get much done. So, you know, I don't think a third wide receiver is a need week to week currently. Like, that guy's not going to play a ton. In fact, he'd be the fourth receiver at this point. I think the need would be if AJ or Devontae were to suffer an injury that kept them out for a prolonged time or for the season, you get in there really quickly. Like, Johnny Wilson, I think, had an okay rookie year. Terrace Marshall has upside, but he's, I think, a question mark at this point. Anaya Smith, I don't think there's much there in terms of being an outside wide receiver. So the need would be for essentially like a safety net. So I would agree, but it's not not their top need, in my opinion.
Amari Cooper's still a free agent.
Yeah, and Amari Cooper, I will say, last year, if you look, when he was with the Browns, his numbers were not great. But when he went to Buffalo, he averaged almost 15 yards a catch. So he still made some pretty big plays and was decent for them. Former Cowboys coming to the Eagles traditionally have not really worked out, but I think that he would certainly check the box as a veteran receiver with experience.
Last thing for me, Elliot, we touched on this when we were talking about the Giants, but I just think we have to be prepared for a much, much better NFC East this year than we had last year. I think the Cowboys will be normal again, which is not like I would expect. They will at least be a team that you have to think about playing. You know, that's not a guarantee two wins. I think the Giants will be functional, and the Commanders were in the NFC Championship game last year. So I think we're going from a division that looked like one of the worst in football to maybe in the top half of football next year.
So I would agree with some of that, but where I would push back on is, like, I think the Cowboys actually have quite a bit of, like, combustible in them. Like, Micah Parsons' contract situation is now the George Pickens' contract situation. I'm not a fan of the head coach they hired. And I agree, if Dak is healthy, he does raise the floor for them for sure. He is, if anything, an extremely consistent quarterback. But he's had trouble staying healthy. And then the Giants, I'll believe they're competitive when I see it. I'm not a Dable fan. I know Russell Wilson's an upgrade, but, like, the Giants have been terrible, what, like 9 out of the last 10 years or something like that? And with Washington, my like counter to you would be, we've seen quarterbacks that have great rookie years do struggle that second year. So I think they're the second best team in the NFC. I'm not diminishing them completely, but I do think there's maybe a little bit more of a chance that they take a step back than the public is thinking.
Yeah, I think with the Giants, the only thing I'd say is that I think their defense is going to be good. And if you have a good defense and not a disaster, a quarterback, you end up being a formidable team.
You'll be in games.
A real team,
yeah, but,
you know.
But I also think we saw last year with the Eagles, like, you're always as good as your quarterback, right? So while I agree the defense is could be good there. Like, if you're not getting good quarterback play, if the other parts of the ball really don't matter. So I would agree, but I just don't think the Dable run offense with a quarterback that's probably average at this point is something to worry about.
Last year's Eagles, only as good as our quarterback. Nice.
Yeah.
So
like that.
Elliot, I'm leaving this, you know, I'm leaving this for you, and I know Jack's really going to appreciate it. We started the show today talking about Bryce, who has had the worst start to his career.
I just think he's cooked. I just think he's got nothing left. I just think we're clearly seeing a diminished player, and that's what I get a preview.
So, Elliot,
let the man speak.
What is your concern level with Bryce Harper's performance so far this year?
Well, I would say I'm starting to get concerned. I think it'd be foolish not to get concerned. I guess my two concerns would be, one, he's definitely older than I even thought. Like, he'll be 33 in October. So, you know, I might not have the baseball eye Jack has, but I have covered enough athletes to know that when you get old, it does go quickly. Uh-huh. So, like, Jack can say that ball was only 2 yards or two whatever feet from going out last night.
It's
right
there.
But that's what happens when you get old, right? Like, you don't hit the ball as far.
Warning track power?
The other thing I would say, though. Yeah, well, he's just old at this point, so I don't know if he'll be able to hit the ball as far. But, like, if you remove Bedlam at the bank in postseason play,
here it comes.
Like, he's only been an all-star one time with the Phillies. So let's not act like
because he was hurt before the all-star game.
Let's not act like every year you're getting outstanding play. Like, he's been a good player. He's been a very good player. But he's probably mostly on par for what he's doing. Like, right now, he's only a little below, like, on pace for what he normally gives them. So, it is if you look at WAR. Yeah, I don't know if you know what that stat is. But if you look at WAR.
Why don't you tell me what it is?
Wow.
why don't you tell me what it is?
Yeah. I know what it is. It tracks how good a player is, and it's cumulative throughout the
year. Right. How do you compute it?
Oh, you don't even know how you compete.
No one does.
Yeah, you don't even know. If you take his current WAR and put it over a full season, he's mostly where he's been. So, like, I think the public perception.
But that's also because he's playing first base, which helps his WAR because of defense. The other time he's reached WAR playing DH.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, I agree with that. But at the same time, like, I think that his postseason play really kind of inflates what he's been as a regular season player.
I think that's fair, Elliot. I think that is a fair response.
So he's at his best when he's needed to be at his best.
I heard that one.
Yeah, just like your guy.
Yeah, although the last 2 years, I don't know if that's
been
the case.
You know what, Elliot?
It definitely was.
If he needs to hit a home run, he'll hit one.
That's what he does.
Yeah, how ridiculous would that sound?
He did in game two of the Mets series.
We saw Jalen do it. Now let's see if Bryce can do it.
If he can get carried through the first two rounds of the playoffs, that'd be great.
All right.
Well, Bryce needs to make it out of the first round this year first to get into the second. So we'll see if he can do that.
All right, there he is, Elliot Shurpark.
Must be nice being the fourth best player on his own offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Bryce is probably the third, so I don't know, at this point. Yeah.
Well, he's not.
Yeah, well, Schwarber's pretty good.
He is good.
Yeah, he might be better.
No.
Well, it's this year.
Well, cool, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Knock yourself out. He's been really good in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, not until the NLCS.
What
did he do in the Mets series last year?
You hate Schwarber?
Well, now I have to hate Schwarber because it's even though me and Gilio are on the Mount Rushmore of Schwarber fans, but we got to start doing our thing.
Would you agree he's the true leader of the team?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Do you think Jalen's the true leader of the Eagles?
No, I wouldn't say Jalen's the true leader. I just think he's their most important player.
Well, that's different.
I agree.
All right, I'm ending this. The Go Birds podcast.
Please no Bryce talk on the Go Birds podcast.
Go Burn Jody Mack tomorrow, so maybe we'll do some baseball.
Oh, there you go.
You can go horse racing.
Do me a favor. Jody Mack, do me a favor. All right. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Go Birds Daily comes out every single day. Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Do you think Jody's going to roll his eyes the entire time?
And Elliot?
I'm trying to envision a Jody and Elliot hosting combination.
Yeah, I think Jody's pretty respectful of that stuff, actually. I don't think Jody's a showman. You know,
he
respects the game. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you on Sunday, on Mother's Day, with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. What is your concern level with Bryce Harper right now and going forward? 58.8% not concerned, 29.6% starting to be concerned, 11.5% very concerned. 215-592-9494. Andrew in Exton, you're on WIP. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. First off, phenomenal golf coverage. Thank you for that.
And even more coming up for Mike at 3:30. Yep.
I'll be tuning in. So when it comes to Bryce, it comes down to attitude. He is taking accountability. He's not moping. He's not pulling a Devers and complaining outwardly.
That's amazing.
The Devers thing is so funny.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Refusing to play first base.
Like he said in a quote, like Craig Breslow, basically, he's like, he played the game. He should understand how hard it is to play a different position.
Yeah, they told me I was going to beat the ace, so I put my glove away.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's so good.
It's crazy. But, like, I listen to Bryce, and he knows that he's scuffling. He talks about being disappointed himself. He's not pointing fingers at it. He's not complaining about the other pitchers. None of that. And, like, even as it's like, if you're a little league coach, you see a kid who strikes out and complains, throws the bat, his ball, you have to teach a lesson. Bryce is good to us. He's a good example, and his history suggests that he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of the points about his attitude, and he even, I think, to your point about taking responsibility, I thought he did that, you know, last weekend and understood that the vibe he was giving off wasn't right. I think the overall concern is more about, you know, are we going to see the Bryce that we're used to seeing from a performance perspective?
Like I think he's going to be fine, but we're eventually going to see. You can't just do this whole, well, he's going to be fine thing forever. Like, eventually, there is going to be a decline.
Yes, that's what I said.
I don't think it's now, but like I don't know. Like I just wonder.
It's going to happen at some point. At some point, you know? And you actually don't usually know until it's after. You know, it's like, I'll give Elliot credit on the Embiid thing. Elliot was like, it's now. And it ended up being then. You know, at some point, he just won't be the guy that it's going to happen to Saquon at some point. You know, it happens to everybody. Andrew, for next question today, it's an AMA Friday, so you get to ask one of us whatever you want. What would you like to ask?
We'll go to Jack. Think of baseball. I know we were in Tampa Bay, and that's kind of a weird team to like. If the Phillies, let's say they were off playing for a week, and you had to pick another team to watch, who would it be? Which team?
Red Sox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Red Sox are my AL team. I've always liked the Red Sox. Even like the 04 team was, because the Phillies sucked during that time, you know, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that 04 team I really liked. So if I had a second team, it would be the Red Sox.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. I hate Boston people
Boston
too much
fan.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one, Andrew.
Three Jack questions.
Yes, I know. I hate it.
Three what?
Three Jack questions so far.
On the Friday AMA.
Well, yeah, it's actually a little bit easier. Yeah.
I mean, now, you're normally just sitting over there doing nothing.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Thanks.
We know Ike's other teams because you're not from here.
Yeah.
So your other team would be the Reds. Your other team would be the Bengals. Yeah. And in basketball.
Well, hold on. He has half the AFC.
That's a good point, too.
I mean, and, you know, Ravens, Bills. I mean, how much
Chiefs?
Well, I was going to say, we give Kelsey a lot of hell for the Chiefs. But, like, you know, there's a little.
Well, now Andy's won already now. So
yes.
I'm good now.
No, I know.
He's won.
Carolina Panthers?
No,
you're
no
from Carolina.
No ties to that. When Ron Rivera was there, then maybe that was my old coach. I can't help it if I got coaches all around the league.
I know
it's okay. It's okay to have a second team as long as they're not a rival.
Yeah,
you know, none of these teams are.
That is
a
the
rival.
Funny thing. Well, I know Ron was the coach of Washington for a little bit there, but I feel like none of your guys have really ended up in the NFC East. Like Al Harris is the only one that was on a staff. He was at the Cowboys for a little bit.
Yep. And where's Al at now?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's still with the Cowboys. I might.
I think he left.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
215-592-9494.
What Spike's is second team is the Yankees, obviously.
Yep.
Yes, the Yankees are the Guardians.
Yep, and the Mets.
No, I hate the Mets. I hate the Mets.
Chicago
the Guardians.
Bears. Yeah, I like the Guardians a little bit.
I feel like the Guardians are everyone that know the 90s. They were like they're everyone's second favorite team.
Well, they were a lot of fun in the 90s.
Oh, yeah?
You had the Tomy and Baerga and Joey Bell.
Six Hall of Famers in that lineup.
Yeah, I mean.
Manny Ramirez.
They were awesome.
Eddie Murray.
Alomar.
I think my thing with the Guardians was like 3 years ago.
They were the Indians then.
They were the Indians
then. I'm talking about a few years ago. Okay. They had this young team that was making like $25 million total. And they just had guys all over the place. I like Kwan, too. But, yeah, Yankees, I would say. I never had another baseball. But Yankees, I do like the Yankees. All right, 215-592-9494.
I did like the Mets in the 80s, the 86 Mets.
Oh, well, they were awesome.
Those guys, yeah. Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden. Yeah,
Spike had front row seats for the Buckner game.
I did. Well, I wasn't front row, but I was at the game.
Might as well have been.
Yeah, I was at the game. Oh, dude.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, being in a stadium for a moment like that, just like – playoff moments are outrageous, and that ball going through Buckner's legs was, especially with a stadium that thought they were losing the World Series. Like, people forget they had to go win the seventh game. Like, that was only game six. All right, 215-592-9494. What is your concern level with Bryce Harper's performance so far this year and moving forward? We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Baseball is back. Watch all the action at Chickies and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at ChickiesandPete's.com. Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Baseball back. Watch all the action at Chickies and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at ChickiesandPete's.com. Deep Voice Luke is the producer back at the studio today. Deep Voice Luke.
What you know about Pete Rock and CL Smooth?
You rang. Shout out NBA Street Volume 2.
That's awesome.
That's NBA Street Volume 2. That is awesome.
Did give us a you rang. I enjoy that.
Yes.
It is Friday at 3:30. It is rainy outside, so it's perfect for a guy who's always inaccurate. That is one, Tornado Shapiro.
Hey, fella, we got a big weekend. We got a weekend in Cleveland, a bigger weekend here in Philadelphia. We should have some weather in both places. Tell you all about it after a proper introduction. Music, please!
Always weather. It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Well, of course, big events everywhere. A famous, a papam. We have a pope. Very emotional day yesterday for Catholics all around the world. That white smoke came out of the chimney. I worked as a chimney sweep at the Vatican back in 78 when they were about to elect JP number one. A lot of fun down there. You know, I befriended Giuseppe, the guy in charge of the smoke for the new pope. One night we started hitting the vino a little bit. It was myself, Giuseppe, and Ike. Then walks Joe Pesci, Steve Buscemi, Pete Incaviglia, and my little friend Mary Jane. Well, you know, somebody lit the wrong stick. White smoke bellowed out of the chimney. Everybody thought Snoop Dogg was the new pope. It was hilarious to see them crowding around him, kissing Snoop's ring.
In 1978?
Misunderstanding. Of course, this is a local story. Let's not forget the new pope is the biggest thing that's happened to Villanova since Jay Wright was nominated for sainthood the first time. Pope Leo the 14th and Villanova grad. We went to different schools at the same time. He went to Villanova. I went to Grayford State. But I remember. I had friends at Villanova ran around the same time. One night it was me, Ike, Howie Long, Whitey Rigsby, and Pope Leo. We were all out at Kelly's Tap Room on Lancaster Avenue.
This did not happen. It didn't
sure
happen.
It did.
No, it
didn't. Leo was a regular. He had his own mug at Kelly's. So that night it was Jake Nevin sitting across the bar thinking about
Jake
Jackie
Nevin Brick. Again?
He's a legend. He's chatting up these three girls from Harkham Junior College. You remember Harkham Parkham, right, Spike?
Jake Nevin was not drinking in Kelly's with Pope Leo. None of this happened.
Jake had promised the girls a ride home, but Leo promised them eternal salvation. Leo left with the girls. All three of them later went into convents. That was the night the Augustinian first said the famous phrase, "Give me chastity, but not yet."
Hello!
This is going to get us into trouble.
The celebration continues out of Jake Nevin's field house. Meanwhile, the Phillies are in Cleveland, where it's dry but cool, low 50 degrees tonight.
Have you ever worked in Cleveland?
Oh, hell yeah, sure. WKNB, the Knob. Dated a weather gal by the name of Misty Rivers. She put the Cleveland in Cleveland. Hello.
They're all named Misty.
One night it was me, Ike, Misty, Kenny Lofton, Drew Carey, two beauties from The Price is Right. We were playing adult Blinko and Safecracker. Come on down! Things got a little messy during the showcase showdown. Turned out to be yet another mistake on the lake. Ouch! Then it was a celebrity softball game in the old Cleveland Stadium with Craig Berube, Reggie Leach, Jay Silverheel, Ricky Fowler. You know, Ricky's a Navajo Native American, along with Chief Nakahoma from the Atlanta Braves.
Uh-oh.
It was a tribute to the great Jim Thorpe. Instead of hot dogs, they sold chops that night. Well, how about the golf? The truest at Philly Cricket, Flower Town, PA.
Yeah, we were there yesterday.
Yeah, I heard you. Last time I was out at Philly Cricket, it was me, Ike, Fuzzy Zeller, Herb from the Northeast.
Wow.
Rod Barajas and Rod Lakin.
Oh, no.
Lakin.
Fuzzy was out. He was in town for the casters at Juniata National. Rod Lakin started mouthing off to Fuzzy. Those two wound up getting in a fight. We got thrown off the course. Did some day drinking with the day loaders over at Halligan's Pub on Bethlehem Pike. Fuzzy lost his pants in the scuffle with Lakin. And then we found out why he got the nickname Fuzzy.
Okay. The most unbelievable thing of this is Lakin getting in a fight. Are you going to finish the forecast?
He was a trash-talking barker, never shut his mouth.
That's Lakin. That's Lakin.
Tonight it'll be dark, starting with the sunset, 8:04. Pop-up thunderstorms continue, low of 51. That won't affect the Phillies game in Cleveland. Tomorrow around here looks great if you're going out to the Truist. In Flower Town, mostly sunny, high 73. Sunday, Mother's Day, sunny with a chance of some precip. I say there's a 50-50 chance that Mama's happy to see you. Hello. Cleveland weather. Well, doesn't really matter. You're in Cleveland. It's going to suck either way. Happy Mother's Day to all the yummy mummies. And God bless Pope Leo. Let's have some fun going away music.
No.
Where's the reverence?
No, there's no reverence. Guy's out of control.
Man.
By the way, part of his forecast was it's going to be dark tonight.
Yep. Why is accurate?
Yeah, I can't believe there wasn't a 50-50 chance of it getting dark in the evening. 215-592-9494. Speaking of the Truist, coming up in moments, we have Ike's Truist Championship update.
Got to regroup.
Yep.
Gotta regroup after that.
Joe in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
Thanks, Mike, Ike, and Jack.
What's up, Joe?
You know, the Phillies, number 59, he didn't want to be second-guessed anymore about whether to pinch run or not. So in last night's game, he pinch run for everybody. Rojas for Schwarber, Marsh for Castellanos, Sosa for Baum, right? And then, you know, we're all raving about how Rojas, you know, he forced that throw from the pitcher. It said the first baseman made the error. But then he goes out and plays defense and makes another little league play, trying to throw a runner out at third base, and he throws the ball up the left field line. You know, so if they're going to continue to let him, he should be making those little league mistakes down in the minor leagues. And if they're continuing to put him out there, it's going to cost them ball games.
Yeah, see,
this is, and
I hear you on that, Joe. I thought that was actually decent aggressiveness. I thought the play the other night by Rojas was egregious. You never go to third base in that situation. At least with that, That's trying to get into scoring position to tie a ball game up. I didn't really have a huge problem with last night. I thought that was
still was 2 outs.
It was still I thought it was more calculated aggression though. Okay. I didn't think the other night was. I thought that was just playing dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. In reference to the Ranger, you know, he started off last year 9-0, and then for the rest of the year he went 3-8, and you know he got bombed the first time out, and now they're putting this excuse up. Well, you know, going into the stretch, you know, he had a problem. Well, he didn't, and his rehab starts down in the minor leagues. He didn't pitch hitless baseball. He had base runners on there, and he didn't have no problem with getting the outs. So you know, it's kind of a cop out. So let's just see what he does the next few starts out there. Because, like I said, he had a poor second half, and you know the first start here wasn't that good. And like I said, I think they're making excuses. You know, they don't know what the problem is because it surely wasn't because he was pitching out of the stretch.
Joe, did any of the Phillies people say that? I just heard Kruk say it. Like, did Rob Thompson say that?
I don't know what, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know where Kruk got that from. Or, you know,
he said it during the game. Yeah,
I mean, because, go ahead.
I agree with you largely about Ranger. I think we have to be, I'm not counting on Ranger to be great again. I think when he looked bad that entire second half. He had back problems again in spring training. I'm with you there. I just don't think the Phillies were the ones who were offering up excuses. For next question today, it is it's AMA Friday. Do you have a question for one of us?
Yeah, for you, Spike. You know, I wonder why that you don't give Ike, you know, a former professional football player, and Jack, even though he was not a professional baseball player, but
I was right on the cusp. Yeah, right on the cusp.
Yep.
Right? That you don't give them a chance to speak a little bit more on the show. I mean, it seems like you dominate all the talk on there. It's similar to like Angelo with Al and maybe Joe the camera now. So I think if you know, give them a little more airtime to hear what they have to say.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, if that's the case, Joe, that is not conscious. I'm not doing that on purpose.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Am I talking too much?
Well,
it's part of the job.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't talk, nothing will happen. I mean, I think maybe it sounds like it's more because I come in and out of break.
Mm-hmm. Well, you drive the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, nobody wants to hear from me. They just want to hear from Mike.
That's true.
Yeah. So, if I'm doing it, I apologize. Certainly not on purpose. Speaking
of, is that your first talk too much?
I got it in the beginning a lot.
We know you get it all the time.
I got it in the beginning a lot.
I don't talk that much.
You know what I think does happen sometimes? Because it's my opinion that annoys people, callers want to call and yell at me because I'm annoying.
Yeah.
I have the annoying opinion oftentimes. Used to that. Well, speaking of the Ike spotlight.
I'll say, I enjoy you talking. I talked a lot for like the last 5 years.
Yeah, make it a little bit easier
just saying,
now.
Yeah.
I'm here to pull my weight. Let's put it that way.
And there ain't much weight, am I right?
No, not much weight at all.
Got him.
Weighed in this morning.
What?
I weighed in this morning just to make sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how's it looking?
150.5.
Damn.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that even an adult size?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's good going into the weekend. I was like, I can do whatever I want this weekend.
There you go.
So speaking of Ike.
Yes.
Ike is carrying the most important position on the show, as he always is, but today even more important as we check in on the Truist.
And now, Ike Reese at the Truist Championship.
I tell you what, fellas. It's been a wet one out there today.
There it is.
Philadelphia Cricket Club.
Moist.
Yes.
But they have wrapped up the second round.
Which about time they wrapped up.
Oh, they started early this morning.
Yes, they started a little earlier because of the weather. So
are we doing this at 4:30 and 5:30?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if the report's going to be different, but yes.
Figure it out.
At least from a leaderboard standpoint, not a lot has changed. Don't have to worry about a cut line. All the golfers will be here through the weekend. At the top of the leaderboard, still have the same guys up there. Rory McIlroy finished at 7-under. If you want to know some notable names out there.
Please lower your voice.
You're right. I'm sorry. Shane Lowry at minus 11 still sits there in second place. And I'll tell you what, the Irishman may be the favorite if the weather's going to keep up like this.
Is he good in the moistness?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it rains a lot on Great Britain.
Yes.
Oh, really?
From what I heard, yes. Yeah,
okay. Well, because it's on the Gulf Coast. Well, maybe that's wrong.
Yeah.
A little bit of an update. Check this out, Fritzy. Spike.
Yes.
Yesterday, Denny McCarthy.
Yes.
When he shot a 62.
Yes.
We didn't know who he was.
Yes.
Well, today he turned back into Denny McCarthy.
Thank God.
No. What did he shoot today?
He shot a 73 today.
Oh, no.
He's at minus 5. Not too far out, but tied for 15th, where he was in the lead yesterday. They got the guys in early. Again, no one really went too low today. Shane Lowry had the best round up today at minus 5. You had a couple guys at minus 4.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. It's tough trading out there as far as trying to go low. You had to survive today to put yourself in position on the weekend. A lot of the top golfers have done that. I'm excited about Saturday and Sunday out at the Truist Championship.
Tune in at 4:30 when we figure out what Ike's going to talk about during this. The golf's already over.
And Ike will too.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Kenny in the Northeast. You're on WL.
Yes, Joe. What's up, my brothers?
What's up, Kenny?
What's up, Kenny?
What's up, guys? Yo, check this out. Before I even get into this, hey, yo, can you be a gentleman, Fritz? Look up DOAP Face Nixon. Dope Nixon. Look that up, Fritz.
Like Richard Nixon?
Dope Nixon. DOAP. Like soap. Dope.
Soap Nixon?
Spike. No, he's saying dope.
Yeah, dope Nixon.
Soap Nixon.
Okay.
Yeah, Spike, you in a band, right, Spike?
Used to be.
Well, you used to be. You ever do a tour?
No.
Not even close.
We played like 4 gigs.
But check this
one of them was in a backyard in Levittown.
Nixon. Interesting.
Well, check this out. I did a couple of them. From Melbourne to Munich, Germany to Austria, Serbia, the Ball 16, all that. Be a gentleman for me, Fritz, while I do my point.
Okay.
I remember calling talking about Bryce, saying he's an energy vortex. We're never going to win with him because while a team is doing good, we're still talking about Bryce. Why are we not talking about Schwarber? Why are we not talking about Turner or Baum turning it around? Maybe Baum is doing good and we dragged him so long, he might call in, listen in to see if we give him a shout-out. We're still talking about Bryce.
Well, you want us to do a show about...
talk about Bryce?
You want us to do a show about Alec Bohm going 1-for-4 last night?
But that's last night, but he's hitting 300, you said. But I remember Zach saying last week the locker room don't like Bryce because
didn't
he's
say that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You kind of said that.
That's what you were saying.
So let's check this out. I'm not here to do that because I love my brothers, but I'm just saying, yo, Bryce, we never going to win because the red flag is when they let Bryce go in Washington
They won right away.
They won right away. People forget.
So listen, what did you find out when you looked that up, Jack?
I just found out that Dope Nixon was not a part of the Watergate scandal. So
he looked up the wrong thing.
He did a couple of tours. He's from Philadelphia.
Well, so you want me to just listen to his music? Is that what you want me to do?
No, I want you to know that Kenneth Green's been around the world. He's not like a regular Philadelphian that just been around 4 blocks. You know what I'm saying? 4 blocks.
Yeah, you're saying you're well traveled.
Okay. Were you in the band or whatever? Yes,
when you travel the world, what does that do to your mind?
Okay.
That opens your mind, right?
Sure,
You see things different than a dude who's only been in Philly his whole life.
Yeah.
Yep,
Or who never left the United States, kind of like me.
Or Westchester.
No doubt. Listen, this is my greatest show. I love this show. I've been with it since the beginning.
Me in this iteration?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So I'm going to go into my question.
Okay, your next question. AMA.
It's for all you guys.
All right.
Why is it okay for outsiders to love Philly, but not Philly people love other teams?
Ooh, good question, Kenny. Good question.
It's a good question.
Well, you'll hear the answer now. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, so I think that's part of what is great about Philadelphia is of the places that I've lived. So I've lived in Chicago and the New York area and L.A. But the of the places I lived, Philly is the most loves itself the most. Like people from Philly mostly only care about Philly.
Territorial.
Very territorial. Yeah. Like everybody's a fan of the teams here. It wasn't that way in New York, in L.A. So I think it is part of our identity to like Philadelphia teams. And if you don't like Philadelphia teams, then you are not a real Philadelphian. So I think that's why. I think we welcome people from other places who like our teams because we like the, liked.
Now, do you have to like all four teams?
I think you have to cheer for all four teams, but I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to actively watch all four teams. Like let's say you don't like the Sixers, or you don't pay attention to the Sixers, but the Sixers are in the finals. Then you get all, first of all, you're in fantasy land, but then second of all, I think you get into it then.
Okay.
That's sort of, to me, what happens in Philly.
That's not real. That's a casual fan, though.
Yeah, but I think the difference in these other places, I don't even think they get that casual fan energy that we get.
Oh, sure. I mean, listen, I think when teams are winning, everybody
gets in. Yeah.
Because it's fun. I'm just saying, as a guy who wasn't necessarily born here.
Yep.
And has cheered for other teams and certainly has embraced this culture as my culture, and this is what my kids know growing up in this area. They don't know any other area. They know this.
Yeah.
If you're from this area, can you be a fan of, like, we have people here that are Eagles and Phillies fans, but they may be a Celtics fan or a Lakers fan, and you know what I mean? Of other teams.
I feel like it happens here less, though, than other cities.
Yeah, that is my...
You've never been anywhere but here.
Correct. Just my take.
I do think
you've been here a lot, yeah.
Now, I think it happens more with young people now because they are exposed to...
That's what I'm saying. It's the younger generation doesn't have the same feelings.
Well, because they grew up being able to watch all the teams.
Right.
Like, we've talked about this. The only baseball teams I could watch growing up were the Phillies, the Cubs and the Braves.
Right.
And the Cubs and the Braves because WGN and TBS were on cable.
Yep.
So, like, if you're only exposed to here, but kids growing up now, for $100, you can watch every baseball game of every team. And so I think that part of it is definitely a little different.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
All right.
I still think Philly is more like parochial in terms of like liking their own teams and not liking other teams more than other cities.
Well, my favorite thing is always the we can rip the teams, but when someone else rips the teams, that's when we attack them. I always think it'd be cool to not live in Philly and watch the Philly team
from afar. Yeah,
yeah. I've never been able to do that.
Well, yeah, root for the team from the outside.
Yeah. Like
watching them.
I'd be the biggest Jalen guy in the world.
Wow.
Would be.
Well, because you would be somewhere else and you're like, that's my team.
I'd get my back.
Exactly. That's my team. Now, you used to have a thing with fans from other cities that root for Philadelphia teams.
Yeah, that's always made Justin.
Yeah, that's your thing.
It's always made Justin Tennessee very mad when I call him a fraud.
Yeah, so he questions the fans on the outside that root for Philadelphia teams.
Fair to question them.
But let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. Because again, that's another great question. But you enjoy, or we reap the benefits somehow, of the teams being as popular as they are because there are fans outside the city. It's what makes that you do realize when we go take over other cities, it isn't necessarily everybody from Philadelphia that's going to
the
city.
No, there's a lot of people from there that are we've noticed that on
LA,
our podcast road trips. Yeah. Half of those people are not even from Philadelphia.
I guess I'm just not used to someone not being from Philadelphia and liking our team.
Liking that's what it is.
That's
because
new too.
We've never had a dynasty, really, like where you could have the bandwagon fans hop on and off, like the Patriots, Cowboys, those kind of things.
I agree, but the Eagles for two and a half decades.
Yeah.
The only thing to remember,
they built up a fan base outside of here.
Yep. The only thing to remember is don't forget the fact that this area had plenty of Cowboys and Steelers fans.
Well, yeah, look at your dad.
Plenty 80s, 90s. And I think it's because of TV, because those teams were on television all the time.
Well, I mean,
but there are a lot of Cowboys and Steelers fans here.
Now, luckily for me, the Bengals were an AFC team, so I didn't get a ton of Cowboy teams and Cowboy games. But we know they were always on for the national game.
Yeah.
But it's legitimately how I became a Lakers fan.
Because they were on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the basketball teams I saw were the Lakers, the Sixers, and the Celtics.
Yep.
Those were the three teams I saw the majority of the time.
And you didn't.
And the Pistons.
And you grew up a place that didn't have an NBA team.
No.
Yep.
No.
Coming up
next. We had the Cincinnati Royals, and then somebody stole them from us. They became the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Cincinnati Royals.
I didn't even know that.
Oscar Robertson started in the Cincinnati NBA team. They were the Cincinnati Royals. They moved to Kansas City, I believe. Or did they go straight to the Sacramento?
You're the only one that knows this.
You know me.
Yeah, but yes. I'm sure you have some tweets.
The majority of that is right. Some of the details may be off there.
Coming up next, simply the filthiest broadcaster in America. Kevin Stocker joins us. Poor Stock.
Poor guy.
Poor Stock. We'll talk Phillies with Stock. How concerned are you about Bryce Harper's play this year? Little concerned? Very concerned? Not concerned at all? 215-592-9494. We're Chickies and Peas in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.